I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him, and they were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there's no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack, and they suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked. They that hate the righteous shall be desolate. But the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Let us pray. O Father God, we thank you that it's a true thing. What you have spoken is understood by us. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But when the righteous cry, when we call unto you with loud prayers and tears, you deliver us out of every trouble, every snare, every lie, every problem, every, all. Oh, Lord God, we thank you for such certain promises. When we're pressed down, we so need to hear this word of the Lord. We see the lions, the young lions suffering, want. And we know that there's a difference between the rest of creation and the righteous, that you are near to us, that you do hear our cry. And so we pray this morning that you would open to us the Word of God, that you would grant unto us wisdom, insight, and understanding, so that we might live a holy and righteous, God-pleasing life, full of power, full of fruit, that we might declare the glory of God day after day after day after day, until you return again to receive the rightful honor due your name. We pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Praise God. Many, many, when you are a righteous man or woman, you suffer many things. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Because you are righteous, you are not spared from afflictions. You are not spared from fears. You are not spared from pain. You are not spared from reversals. You are not spared from troubles. Because you are righteous, you are the head. you are thereby not spared from troubles. You are not kept out of trouble. In the world, you, the righteous, have trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, not only for myself, but for you. I promise, I swear by my name, it's a covenant, I will not change, I cannot repent. I will deliver you out of every trouble. For my own name's sake, for my righteousness' sake, I will deliver you out of every trouble. Now that is comfort to the saints. He does not promise to keep you out of trouble. He does promise to bring you out of trouble. We are led from victory unto victory, but many times that victory is in the midst of. As a matter of fact, God's greatest victories are in the midst of trouble. He shows himself mighty not only on the mountaintop, but in the valley. He shows himself a deliverer when we're in trouble. How else would we know that our God is able to do what no other God can do? If there is another God, then let him deliver in the day of trouble. If my own piety can deliver me, then let it be so. If my own strength, if my own wisdom, if my neighbors, if my family, if my church, if any other human being or any other God or any other name can be named to save me, to deliver me, to set me free, then you'll find out in the day of trouble. Troubles come upon you to test you to see who is your God. Troubles come upon you to tribulate you, that is, separate you. A tribulation is a fork. Tribulum is a fork. It's a three-pronged fork that separates the wheat from the chaff. It comes upon you to separate that which is of the flesh from that which is of the spirit. So you are not meant to be kept from problems, but you are tribulated so that the old man is separated from the new man. That's why you can count it all joy when you suffer various trials and troubles. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the 9th verse, I glory in my infirmities. I don't name it and claim it and get out of them. Before, I glory in them. It's not wrong to name it. But make sure you glory in your infirmities. You are never in a place of defeat. Never. Or God has lied. So, many times when Christians get in trouble, they do the wrong thing. When trouble besets them, I'm not talking here about mild trouble, but what we call deep trouble. When you're at an extremity. When things really count. You know, the others, it's hard to tell because you can do the wrong thing and it'll still work. It's hard to tell. But when it's desperate, when it's a deep trouble, you know there is no other hope but God. And you either do it right or it doesn't work. Amen. A lot of times in lighter troubles we have, my toaster won't work and, you know, the postman hasn't come yet and I can't find a parking space. These are not desperate situations normally. So you might be able to name it and you might be able to do this and do that. But when you come into a serious place, into a tight place, into a corner where God says, be not dismayed, don't give up, don't quit, don't become afraid, don't become hurt, don't become angry, what do you do? How do you then call upon the Lord? Today, I believe the Lord wants me to enlarge upon this theme, the cry of the righteous. It is essential that you learn how to cry. The cry of the righteous opens the heart of God and releases the hand of God to deliver. The cry of the righteous opens the heart of God, opens the ears of God, opens the eyes of God, and releases his hand to deliver, that he may be glorified, and that you may be set on high, that you may be blessed before the watching world. That's how God gets glory. Before the watching world. When we get into trouble, we are not intended to be defeated and then say, but I believe God has victory here anyway. It is God's intention to deliver us from all our troubles, from all our fears, from every infirmity and disease and power that would snare us. It is God's will to set us free. It is not His will to keep us from those problems and troubles. It is His will to deliver us from every one. Now, you must understand then the cry of the righteous. God wants us to learn about the cry of the righteous. Verse 17 of 34, Psalm 34, verse 17, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth." The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth. And, of course, He delivers us from all our troubles, from all our afflictions, from all our cares. Now, I first want to show five things that people do when they get in trouble, all of which are wrong. Five things that Christians do, I've done every one of them. If you've ever been in an extremity, if you haven't done them all, you've been tempted to do them all. The first thing is just to become afraid. That's the first thing to do when you get in trouble, is fear just overwhelms you and you just stay in the fear. And it just, self-pity takes over. Anger takes over. Instead of crying out to God, instead of praying, we just simply become angry or hurt or afraid. And we're just overwhelmed. And we just simply allow the situation to overwhelm us. Has anyone ever done that in a time of trouble? You know there's a God, but somehow you don't have the strength and the ability, and you're just overwhelmed, and you're just frightened. It's at that point that you need a Savior. It's at that point that you need brothers and sisters. It's at that point that you need a friend, a comforter, someone that can encourage you to say, "Brother or sister, it's all right. I've been in that situation too. I've been overwhelmed when I didn't even do the right thing myself. I just simply was overwhelmed." Well, that's the first thing not to do, yet it has been done by all of us. The next thing, which is probably the typical evangelical approach, is resignation. The first thing is just to be afraid or to be hurt or just to be overwhelmed, just to give in. The next step is not really to give in, it's to resign oneself to the situation, somehow believing that God may deliver me. But I'm not really going to cry out that loud. I'm just simply going to believe that because I'm a Christian, I resign myself to the situation, and my God, who is somewhere out there, will take care of me somehow. Probably. Perhaps. I hope. Now that is a typical evangelical approach. It's not the only one, but it's one of them, and I would say it's the most typical. That most people do not even bother to make loud prayers because they've been taught to resign themselves. Life itself would teach it, even if no one taught it formally. There's just something about it. I don't want to fail. And now that I'm in trouble, I'm just so weak, and I know I'm a Christian. Maybe God will come through for me. I'm not even going to pray about it. I hope maybe He will. You have kind of like a weak faith in the fact that I hope, maybe. And so you resign yourself to the situation and do not cry and do not struggle and do not wrestle and do not pour out your heart before God and do not get a hold of God. You just simply resign yourself. Perhaps in this situation you even make a weak prayer of some sort, "Oh God, help me." But that's about it. But basically you quickly resign yourself to the condition, to the situation, and just hope for the best. Now that is a typical approach. It's wrong. The third approach is to stand on the promises of God. Now that is the best evangelical answer. I'm going to stand on the Bible promises. I'm going to stand on the principles that I've learned at the seminar. I'm going to stand on the things that I've heard that God does. I'm going to stand on the character of God. I'm going to stand on the things that I've heard that won't do it. It's not what the Bible says to do. Of course, the word stand could be misunderstood there. But taking it in the common understanding of the word, often the Christian will just simply stand on the promises and say, "Well, I believe God is good and I believe He'll work things out." There's a little more than resignation here. You're actually believing that God is going to do good, but you're not doing much about it. You're just simply believing it. So I would call that standing on the promises. Someone comes to you and says, "What are you doing?" You don't say, "I'm resigned to it." You say, "I'm believing God will take care of this situation." You haven't actually talked to Him. You're just believing that God will because of what you've heard and what you've read and what you've been taught. So I would say it's another typical situation. You come into it. There's trouble. It's an extremity. and you just don't know what to do, and so you just say, I don't know what to do, but I'm believing God was going to do something. And it sounds so pious, it sounds so good, and it sounds so right, but it is wrong. It is not what God has said to do. A fourth response is to name it and claim it, to say, I've got specific promises here. And you might even use Psalm 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. I'm going to stand on that. Now, this is a little different than standing on the general promises of God or the general character of God or the fact that you're a Christian. This one is actually taking verses to Him and kind of saying them out loud before God. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. You might say it 10 times, or you might write it on your refrigerator or something and remind yourself day in and day out, something like that. Now, that's another typical approach to getting a hold of God and assuming then He will deliver me. Satan, in the name of Jesus, I command you to get out of this situation because many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all and He will deliver me. You know, and you just sort of repeat that many times to yourself and believe that by thereby doing that, that in fact you'll be delivered. How many have experienced that you have done that and you were not delivered? There's something wrong there, and yet it sounds like it should be true. After all, you're using the Word of God, the promises He has made, you're naming it, you're claiming it, you're, you know, doing seemingly what is right. But I can tell you that it does not always work. There is a last thing that people do, and I'd say this is the most subtle of all, and it's the one I've fallen into, and God has just recently opened my eyes to it. That is, that when you cry to God and He gives you an answer, you then rest on that answer. When you say, God, you know, what's going on here? And He gives you a dream or a vision or a word from the Lord that you are so certain that this situation is going to be taken care of by God that then you just relax. Now, that's what I have done in many situations. Because I've heard God, I've gone to God, I've gotten a word from God, and I thought that was enough. It is not enough. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth. It is essential for the righteous to learn how to cry. The cry of the righteous is something that God is seeking. When you are in deep trouble, you must learn how to cry unto the Lord your God, and not to let go until God gives a favorable word. And not simply a vision, as I said, not simply a word that says it's going to be all right, but a specific word. All right? Those are the 5 things that people normally do that we have found ineffective by experience. You see, there's one thing to have theology. It's another thing to have experience. Theology is great until you get in trouble. Then your theology better be extremely accurate, because it's then at that point that you discover the difference between head theology, head knowledge, and real practical theology, something that works. And we want that kind of teaching, that kind of doctrine that actually allows God to glorify Himself, that allows the righteous to be set free. How many here would like to be set free every time you get in trouble? Amen. The secret of the Lord is to learn to cry. Now, crying is not the only way to deal with the Lord. If the situation is not desperate, the cry is not essential. If the situation is not desperate, the cry is not essential. However, I would say this, that in most cases, as you begin to pray without crying, you will discover the need for crying. In most cases, as you begin to just pray through on a thing, you will discover the extremity of your situation, the desperateness of your situation, and you will realize that although it doesn't look desperate, it is desperate. And that's one of the tricks of Satan, is to indicate to you, now this situation is not too bad, just sort of, God bless my family and take care of my kids today, amen, and go off. It's not a very desperate situation. You know, I'm not in much trouble. My bank account's there. I got good health. I'm just kind of blessing the kids, and, you know, so on. I'm not desperate. It's a snare of the enemy often to blind you to the fact that everything at every moment of every day is desperate. So you better learn when you pray to cry. the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. That word all is so exciting. I never saw so clearly that word all until I got desperate the other night. I've seen it before, I've prayed it before, I've used it before, but I never saw how all-inclusive that word all is. Because the temptation was, maybe not in this situation. Maybe God's got another way to do it here. Maybe He'll do it as through some other means, where you actually don't get the victory, but you get a victory in defeat. And that word all is a strength, it's a bottom line, it's a basis, it's a substance that you can get a hold of and say, does all mean all? And the Lord says, all means all. That is, whenever the righteous get into trouble, always God will deliver. That is an incredible statement, but you won't find any scriptures to the contrary. I have soaked myself this last week in the Psalms, and they're all alike. They're all alike. I want to answer some questions, several questions. When do you cry? How do you cry? To whom do you cry? How long do you cry? What can I expect when I cry? What always happens when you cry? And what do you do after you've heard God answer your cry? I want to start with the first one. When do you cry? A Christian cries whenever he is desperately in trouble. Now, a cry cannot be defined as something said in a normal tone of voice. A cry must be a passionate, tearful, or loud prayer unto God. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. This is an interesting verse. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Jesus is a priest, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and this is what is said in verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save from death, and was heard in that he feared. You see, even though Jesus was a son, he learned obedience by what he suffered. You see, when Jesus got in trouble, he didn't just say, God, you know, I'm going to name this verse I've got. I'm going to claim verse blah, blah, blah from Jeremiah or something. No. Jesus was heard not because he had a verse, not because he had a promise, not because he was standing, not because he was in trouble, but because he cried. He cried out to God and said, oh God, there is no hope in man. I cannot find any other God. There's no one to save. You alone are my hope, my strength, my salvation, the one who can deliver me from my fears, from my troubles, from my enemies, from sickness, from infirmity, from anything. God alone. And so he cried out with loud cries. Now remember this, Jesus was not bound in sin. He was righteous, yet he was heard by his crying. Now you might say, well, we have to cry because we're unrighteous. No. The first thing that we cry about, by the way, is to be set free from sin. The first thing that we cry about is to be set free from sin. Often the first thing we actually cry about is to be set free from sickness. Or a wife. Or a husband. Or debts. Or some human situation. But you'll find as you begin to cry about those situations that God is in there seeking not simply to deliver you out of the trouble, but to deliver you from eternal trouble. So that you become righteous. So even when the unrighteous cry to God and say, oh God, forgive my blood guiltiness, forgive my sin, God hears that cry. And He does deliver us from the wrath to come. Many scriptures. He does deliver us from the wrath to come. So that is the greatest thing that He delivers us from. But once you are a righteous one, you still must learn to cry, as Jesus is our example. To cry unto the Lord so that He will deliver us out of every trouble. Now, too many of us have resigned ourselves to trouble. Too many of us have accepted trouble. Too many of us have learned some formulas that we use in time of trouble, but they still haven't set us free from the trouble. Too many of us are not expecting that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Today. When do you need to be saved? When you're in trouble. You don't need salvation tomorrow. You need it today. And God has made a covenant to deliver you in the day of trouble. Now, a lot of times we're in trouble, and we know we're in trouble, but we don't really see the fullness of that trouble. And when you cry out, you're not really crying out for the trouble. You're only crying out for the surface of the trouble. Spend the time it takes with God to find out the depth of the trouble, then when you cry, you will be delivered. I'm going to say that again. A lot of times we know we're in trouble, but we don't know how deep our trouble is. When you cry from the top of the well, it doesn't count. When you try from the middle of the well, it still doesn't count. But when you cry in distress at the bottom of the well from desperation, there's no other hope, then God will hear you. So many times we're at the top of the well and say, I think I'm going down. And then you cry out. But He won't deliver at that point. Hello? He won't deliver at that point. You better find out how deep that trouble is. You need to find out how deep that trouble is. In other words, God will reveal it to you. I'm not saying you have to ride the trouble to the bottom. I am saying you only have to see. You only have to ask God to show you how deep that trouble is. You're actually at the bottom already, even though you haven't experienced it. You're in trouble deeply. Whenever you're in the hand of an enemy, whenever disease has gotten hold of you, whenever poverty has taken hold of you, whenever anything negative has gotten hold of you, your enemies, persecutors, mockers, laughers, and so on, you are in deep trouble. You may not know it. You may think, well, I have enough verses. I got a little bit of strength. I can get out of this one. I think I can get myself out of this one. I've got some scriptures written in the back of my Bible or whatever else. I tell you, verses aren't going to work. Nor resignation. Nor being able to use your intellect. Nor any other thing. There's only one that can help, God Almighty. I tell you, when you're desperate, you have no strength. You have no, you're sighing. You're just gasping. You don't have these articulate prayers.
Oh God, who indwellest the tumbler.
You know, you don't have that. You're not able to make these little pious prayers. I tell you, when you get in trouble, you cry. Okay, that's the first thing. When do you cry? When you're in deep trouble and there's no one to help. The second thing is, how do you cry? The way you cry is to get on your face. If you can sit up in a chair, you know, just pray a little prayer, you aren't desperate. But I tell you, when the situation gets a hold of you, you know there is no hope. This thing is not going to come out favorably unless I cry. God begins to get hold of you. And you get on your face before God. You get on the floor. Or you reach out your hands. Or you do something. I'm not saying you couldn't sit in a chair, but I'm saying you couldn't sit in a peaceful, kind of quiet, sophisticated, middle-class way. And that's the way we normally pray, even in church. We pray that way. We're not desperate. And God will never answer a prayer that's not desperate. Never. There is no such thing as a prayer that's not desperate. Jesus said, when you keep knocking and knocking and asking and seeking with all you've got, that's when the man will wake up. That's when the man will come down and give you the bread. He's not going to do it because you say, God, would you help me? Please? Please, I'm real sincere here. He's not going to do it because you aren't sincere yet. When He says no, and then you say, now God, you can't say no. Now you're getting sincere. God, you can't say no. You got to say yes. No. You can't say no. I don't accept no. You got scriptures here that say yes. And boy, I tell you, that's how to fight. And that's how to get prayer answered. You remember all the stories in the New Testament. The woman with the issue of blood. The woman who was a Syrophoenician that said, you know, yeah, but even the dogs get the crumbs. You know, she wouldn't take a no. She said, I can't. I'm only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I don't give to dogs. She says, yeah, but even the dogs get the crumbs from the table. I'm not going to let you go, Jesus. Don't say no. I won't take it. And centurions came to Him. Lepers came to Him. Anyone who believed that God was as good as His Word said He was never took a no. Because God often says no, but He means keep trying. Keep coming at me. Get some scriptures. Get some promises. Get some verses. Get into the Bible. Find out what I've said. Get on your face. Wrestle through this thing. Don't rely on your Sunday school religion or, you know, what you've learned from some seminar. Get on your face before God where there's no props, no hope, no nothing but God and His Word. I'll tell you, that's desperate, and that's what God's looking for. Some people that have no strength, no hope. Because what troubles are for is to teach you that you are not God. Troubles are for teaching you. Now, don't resign yourself to that. Resign yourself to the fact that you're God. You have a God. You are not God, but you have a God. And He will deliver you Out of all your troubles, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Praise the Lord. How do you cry? You get on your face with loud cries and many tears in desperation. How do you cry? You get on your face with loud cries and many tears in desperation. And a third thing, you get on your face with loud cries and many tears in desperation. And thirdly, you take the Bible. You do need the Bible. You do need those verses. But the Lord is going to give you some new verses that you never had before. And He's going to show you some old verses in new ways that you never saw before. And plenty more, but I'll just stop there at this point. Take the Bible with you. Take those words with you. Take those promises with you. Get on your face before God. Loud cries and prayers and tears, and take scriptures with you. I'll tell you, God is going to point out to you in the Bible, using the Word of God. Now, legalistically, you wouldn't have to necessarily have a Bible. Many times you don't. You can just cry out to God and He'll bring to mind as much scripture as you've memorized. And maybe even give you a few you haven't. But basically, when you go before God, get your Bible out. Take it with you. Get on your face. Get on the ground. Get down below your bed. Learn how to get on your knees. This is what God wants. He calls it humility. Put on sackcloth and ashes. Stop eating. Fast. Stop sleeping. The other night when Guy was in trouble, we got up there about 1 and stayed till, I don't know, 3:30 or something. And then we just felt we had to get away, and the hospital was not the place to cry, get noisy. So Robert and I came over to the church, and we each got in separate rooms. We didn't cooperate together. We each got before our faces in God. He was at one end of the building, I was at the other end. We began to cry out to God. We were tired. But God began to speak to each of us separately without knowing the other, that you do not quit until morning. You do not quit until the light comes. You're going to weep all night because joy comes in the morning. And God had us praying there, and it wasn't just going through some motions. God was revealing to each of us supernaturally things. We didn't want to just know, will He live? We want to know specifically what's going on here. What's happening here? And by the time it was finished, God had shown us each some things that were so incredible that as we shared with Joe and Guy, we knew that all things were well. We knew that Guy would live through that night. I tell you, there was no hope. And they came in every few minutes and said, it looks like it's over with. Come in quickly. And, you know, it was a desperate situation. And so the family was all gathered there waiting. And, you know, at that moment, there's no righteousness in me. I wish I were gooder. You know, you feel, oh, I wish I hadn't sinned. I probably sinned yesterday. You know, and you're thinking of all that garbage. You have to get it out of your way because you know you can't pray with that. You know, but you realize there's no righteousness in me. If it's on the basis of my righteousness, I'm not going to make it. I haven't prayed enough. I haven't fasted enough. I haven't sought God enough. You know, my sins overwhelmed me that I wasn't clean enough to pray. So it can't be on that basis. And probably Guy sinned, you know, and my goodness, God, are you going to hold that against him? And is he still righteous? And, you know, you're wrestling with all these crazy thoughts that Satan throws against you. When you're desperate, you don't have any props. You don't have any hope. There's nothing but God. You know you've got promises of God here that you've got to get a hold of. Do they apply? How do they apply? So when you get on your face before God and you cry out, you don't know what's going to happen. You only know what His promise says, what His Word says. And you know that if you keep praying through, somehow crying through, it's going to work. But you don't know how until it works. Then you realize, oh, that's it. By knowledge, the Lord delivers the righteous. God will give knowledge to His people. We're not just like those that say, oh, I hope this works out. I believe it probably will because I've got some scriptures. That's not good enough. Oh, there's many scriptures that we can stand on. That's not good enough. You need a specific word from God that says, this is what's happening, this is what I'm going to do, this is what you must do. And I tell you, to do that, you can't have theology. It won't help. You can't just get some verses out. Besides, Robert and I tried that. We got all our verses out. You know, we got all our verses out. And they all fell down to the... You know how you pray and it goes up to the ceiling and comes back down again? You know, they weren't going up to heaven. They weren't assurances. And we knew in our spirits we're not breaking through. Yet we had been given visions, dreams, and words. I tell you, we have been given so many visions, dreams, and words. We knew that Guy could not die. Yet here he was at the point of death, and there was no question he was going to die. But we had visions, we had dreams, we had words. He had them. We all had him. We knew that he had a ministry that was so incredible to this city. Yet, here it was, all come to an end. Everything now would have to be rethought. Somehow it was the end of everything. You just give up, quit. But we couldn't quit because God had spoken to us. If we were deceived in that, we were deceived in everything, as far as the ministry goes. I tell you, God wants the righteous to cry. The cry of the righteous is heard in heaven. So we came back here and God heard us. To whom do you cry? To God the Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son. God has raised up Jesus. In the Old Testament, the word is Yasha. Can you say that word? Yasha. You see, that's very close to this word, Yeshua, which is the name Jesus. Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Jesus came to be a deliverer. And you can read in the opening chapters of the Gospel how the name Jesus was given by the angel Gabriel to say, He shall deliver His people. He will be a Savior to His people from sins, from fears, from sickness, from poverty, from troubles, from everything, because He's a Savior of Savior of Saviors. He's not just a Moses. He's not just a political Savior. He's not just a healer. He's not just a teacher. He is the Savior of Saviors, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He saves to the uttermost in all ways, in all situations. I'll tell you, our God is not done. It's not enough what He's done. He's doing more. He's going to save us before the nations. He's going to display His glory before the nations so we can get up in the great congregation and declare here and say, we were at the extremity, but God saved us. We cried out to God and He saved us. Glory to God. When we go out into the nations, they're going to know that was salvation. That didn't come by theology. That didn't come by naming and claiming. That thing came by fire. That thing came with tears. That thing came with power. That thing came. Someone paid for it. Someone died and rose again. When you go into prayer, you die. You have nothing to take with you. You're naked before God. You pour out your heart to Him. You just pour it out and there's nothing in there. There's nothing in there but hope in God. All you have is God. And you search and you listen and you wait before God as the Word begins to work and you begin to wrestle with that Word until He's blessed. Now, how long do you cry? Psalm 88 verse 1 says you cry day and night. This is a terrific psalm. I wish we could spend a whole day on just going through some of these incredible... And night before Thee, let my prayer come before Thee. Incline Thine ear unto my cry. My soul is full of troubles. My life draweth nigh unto the grave. I'm counted with them that go down to the pit. I'm as a man that hath no strength. Precisely. That's exactly the issue. Is that when we get in trouble, we feel like we should have some strength because we're Christians. No. You have no strength. We don't live by infused grace, as I've taught you before. We live by imputed righteousness. God counts us as righteous for no reason except the mercy of His Son. Except because we have faith in Him. Except because we put our trust in Him. We don't actually have strength inside of us. When we get on the hospital bed, when we're in debt, we wish we had some strength, some faith, some hope, or something that we had of our own. You don't need it. I tell you, when you're in desperation, remember that God will deliver you out of all your troubles. You don't need strength. You don't need hope in man. You don't need something inside of yourself. You need only God, the indwelling Savior. You only need God. You only need to know that you are the righteous, beloved of God, favorite of God. That's all you need to know. On that basis, you could cry and say, Oh God, I don't understand this. I don't know how to do this exactly, but I know You're the God. You are my God. And I know You love me. I know You delight to deliver me. I know You cannot say no. I refuse to allow You to say no. You can't say no. You won't say no. Your word is too strong. Now there's your strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I don't have strength in myself. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9, because this is a powerful thing. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, Paul wasn't saying, I love to be sick. He was saying, it doesn't bother me when I'm sick, because I have no strength anyway, but God will be my strength. He wasn't saying, I glory in my sickness, I like it. He was saying, sickness is from the devil, but God will get me out and I don't have to panic. Because I know my God will get me out of this. I glory in my infirmities. I'm not afraid. I don't have to panic and say, oh God, get me out of here. I name it and claim it and jump on the devil and so on. I don't have to get excited about that. I can glory in my infirmities and say, devil, I don't care how much you do to me. I don't care how bad you get me. I don't care how you press me. I'm going to be delivered from this. It isn't just because I name it and claim it and all that, as though that's a new work. It isn't that. It's that my faith says, no, I don't care how hard I'm pressed, I'm going to win. I may do it this minute, or I may do it an hour from now, but I'm going to do it because God will get me out of this. That's faith. Because he says, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul cried out several times. He named it. Oh, God, deliver me. I'm sure he had 18 verses. God, help me, help me. And God says, no, no, no. And then God spoke this word. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, accept your weakness. Accept the fact that you have no strength. Accept the fact that you're just lying there and you wish you had strength. I tell you, when you're on the deathbed, you wish you had some kind of strength or something. When you're praying for someone who's in trouble, you wish you had some kind of strength, but you don't have any. You're naked. You don't have any. You don't need any. Because God gives strength to the humble. God gives hope to the hopeless. God gives power to those that have no power. God is looking for those that are desperate that He can bless them. You don't need anything, only faith that He has everything. Let God be God. Let Him arise. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Pleasure. Oh, I tell you, when people are sick, you don't see them in pleasure. Oh, this is fun. They're trying to get out. Oh, get me out. Oh, get me out. Their cry is more, get me out, than it is, no, God will get me out. I'm going to enjoy my God. I'm not resigned to my sickness. I'm resigned to my God. I'm not resigned to my trouble. I'm resigned to my God. He will get me out. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. So, that's my strength. His strength. His strength. How long do you cry? Night and day. Until you actually hear the Lord say, it's enough. Stop crying. Stop praying. I've heard you, and this is what I'm going to do. And that's what happened. About 5 o'clock, both Robert and I, simultaneously, about that very hour, both heard the Lord say, it's enough, stop praying. Robert was somewhere else, and he came into the room where I was and said, you know, the Lord has spoken. And I said, the Lord has spoken. And we then began to share, and they just meshed together incredibly. We went and shared with Joe and, you know, went and prayed for Guy one more time. And this is what I will do. What can I expect? I can expect that God will deliver me right early. In fact, one of the prayers is, Lord, don't tarry, don't wait, don't put this thing off. We tell God what to do, because He told us to tell Him. He says, you know, insist upon it. You know, don't, see, the natural person is inclined to knock, and if he doesn't answer, you knock again, and if he doesn't answer, you knock again, and if he doesn't answer, you quit. You say, well, I tried it. It didn't work. I guess I don't know how to do it. I guess God isn't going to answer. I guess something. No, no, never quit. You see, with God, you never give up. You just keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. See, it's so easy to give up. Religious people don't give up, you know, after the first try, but they give up after the second or third. So, well, I guess God isn't going to do it. Or I guess I don't have the faith. Or I guess I don't know what to do. Or I guess, or I guess. Don't guess. You don't have to guess. You can be certain. I will help you right early. Insist upon it. Come to me with your, come boldly into the throne room and say, God, do this. God, this must be done. Cry unto me. I tell you, when you're desperate, you don't care about protocol. You see, when you're desperate, you don't say, may I please come in? You just barge in. God, I'm probably doing it all wrong, but do this. You know, you don't care. You see? Because the desperation, the need, that's what God wants. God says, ah, there's my people. My people know that who they are. They know their sons, their daughters. They can come in boldly. What always happens when you pray? This is the secret. I'll tell you, when you've heard God, you don't just hear God. This is what you hear. The reason I knew I'd heard God was not simply because He said He will live and so on. I'll tell you how I knew I heard God. God revealed my sin. God revealed my sin, not Guy's sin, not someone else's sin, my sin. He may also do those other things. That's not important. I'll tell you what He showed me. He opened my eyes and showed me where I'd sinned, where I had grievously erred. I wasn't the cause of Guy's sickness. That's not the issue. The point is, as an intercessor, as I began to seek God, He began to reveal my sin. I was wanting to help Guy. He began to say, you need help. And I came to know God, the living God, in a fresh way. Then I knew that the God who'd help me would help Guy. I knew the same God that just met me. Surely, that God who was faithful to show me my sin and not cut me off, that same God would now answer this other prayer. And I'm not just saying in general, but specifically then, God spoke specifically as to what the situation was. Oh, I wish we could spend hours doing this. The Father reveals specific sin in the righteous intercessor before telling you what He will do. The Father reveals specific sin in the righteous intercessor before telling you what He will do. So you come to know God in the midst of your infirmities. Psalm 77:10 says something to that effect. I will remember God in the midst of my infirmities. The last thing, what do you do after you've heard God? You get up off your face. You begin to rejoice. If your face is dirty, go wash it. If your clothes are crumpled up, go put on a fresh set of clothes. In our case, we were too far from home, so we just went straight over. But get up off your face. Put a smile on your face. The praying is over. Don't pray anymore. Now just rejoice before God. Begin to rejoice and shout praise. I tell you, we spent another half an hour or more just praising God and shouting. We didn't even have a voice left. Oh God! Our voice was gone. We were so excited, jumping and shouting. We hadn't even seen anything yet, but we had seen it in the Spirit. We knew that that God had done something. Then go forth and declare God's glory. Psalm 50:15. I won't read it, but you can look it up if you want to. Go forth and declare the glory of God, because that's why He delivers, so that we can declare His glory. Obey His specific commands and testify in the great congregation. Come before the church and say, God did it. Glory to God. Now, to sum it all up, God is Yeshua. God is a delivering God. God wants to deliver you out of all your infirmities. We're going to close in prayer. Let's stand. Oh, Father God, we thank You that although the righteous are not kept from trouble, many are the afflictions of the righteous, yet You deliver us out of them all. And we thank You, Lord God, that that's something that we can pray about, that we can cry unto You until You answer favorably and say, it's done as You have believed. It's done as You have said. What You have requested of Me, what You have named, what You have claimed, what You have said, what You have requested, it's done. Go in peace. I've answered Your prayer. Oh, I tell You, Lord God, we love You, we adore You, we worship You, we magnify You, that You are a great God. There are people here with financial troubles. There are people here with fears, who are enveloped in fear. There are people here with marriage problems. There are people here with just personal confusion. There are people here who have physical infirmities. There are people here who are at the point of death or have some relative or neighbor. There are people here with all kinds of troubles and problems and infirmities and distresses. But You will not allow one of them to remain. Amen. You have given Your nature, Your word, Your character, Your very life is on the line. I will not allow it. No weapon fashioned against You shall prevail, You have said. Therefore, Lord God, we hold You to Your promise, and we cry unto You until You answer and say, it's done. Get up off your face. It's taken care of. Oh, Lord God, You've taught us now how to do it, how to cry before You, how to get before You on our faces, to pour out our hearts before You, to come before You and lose all of our strength. Come weakly before You and say, God, You are our strength. You will do it. In the name of Jesus, it will be done, and God will get glory, and we will testify before the great congregation, and we will declare His glory before the nations, and our God will do valiantly. Our God will make His name glorious before the heathen, and they will say, truly, God is in your midst. Truly, this is a people that know the face of God. Truly, the favor of God is upon this people. No one could do it. It was impossible. It couldn't be done. But this people cried out to their God, and He answered them. What a God. He is the Lord God. He is God. He is God. He is God that answers with fire. Oh, I thank You, Lord God, that even this morning as this church prayed in desperation, as we cried out to God, and as we continue to pray until He delivers Vera and Guy and every other person in this church that has any need whatsoever, that we will see the hand of God. We will see the face of God smiling. We will see that God is Yeshua, the Deliverer, our Savior. Hallelujah. In Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.